Welcome everyone to the AP Rallo monthly call on Tuesday, 25th February 2014 at 5 UTC. On the call today we have Cyranush Vardanyan, Hong Shui, Pavan Boudrani, Olivier Crépin-Leblond, Holly Raich, Ellen Strickland, Maureen Hilliard, Tomohiro Fujisaki, Karichana Tairohu, Gunilla Aspink, and Cheryl Langdonor. We have apologies from Ariel Michel, and from staff we have Sylvia Vivanco, Ariel Liang, and myself, Julia Chauvelin. May I please remind all participants to please state your names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Cyranush.
Okay, thank you. And I just would like to say that Ariel wants to have 2 minutes to talk, and please, Ariel, the floor is yours before moving forward.
Thank you, Cyranush. Hello, everyone, again. My name is Ariel, but I chose this as my English name when I came to America for exchange at 16. My real name is Xing Yue, which means happiness from heart.
Oh.
And I grew up in China and in a city near Shanghai, very historical, and I hope one day I can host a meeting in my city. So, and then I graduated from Vanderbilt University in America, and then after that I went to Columbia University for communication studies, and I'm always passionate about building a good relations between Asia and the U.S., so I worked in a Japanese company before as a China analyst, and now I'm at ICANN, and I'm really eager to contribute my knowledge and experience in China, Japan, and other Asian regions to the work of that large community. So I'm very excited to be in the organization and serving this group. And I'm looking forward to meeting every one of you in person in the near future in Singapore. Thank you. Thank you very much. And hello, everyone, again.
Thank you, Ariel, and welcome again. This is Cyranush, for the record, and we will start our February monthly call, and we will start it with the ALS Spotlight, which Ellen Strickland volunteered last time to present Internet New Zealand. So, Ellen, the floor is yours. And we have PowerPoint on the screen, which is shared by Ellen with all of you. Ellen?
Hello, everyone. It's Ellen speaking. Is that volume all right?
Yep. Yes,
we can hear you.
Okay, great. All right, thanks. Well, yeah, I thought I'd take the opportunity to do this spotlight session and this meeting on Internet NZ. I'm Ellen Strickland. I'm Collaboration and Community Lead for Internet NZ, and I wanted to present to you, really, we've had we're quite an old organization, been around quite a long time. Many of the people who were involved in setting up Internet NZ were involved in bringing the Internet to New Zealand, but in the last 12 months, we've had a review of our mission and vision, and so I wanted to talk you through our new sort of focus, which is on people. So it's very much from a technology root for the organization that we've come around to bringing in a focus on people. So today I'm going to talk about that, our new mission and vision, what that means day to day really for us, so the work we do, to give you all a flavor of what we do. So our changing focus, the idea for us has been, you know, as the Internet, from when Internet NZ was formed to now, the Internet has grown from being a niche thing that some network operators were involved with bringing to New Zealand through the universities and government, to something that's everywhere and affects everyone. And that change, the ubiquity of the Internet and the impact it has on people, has meant that we need to change our focus. So where we were focused on the technology, on the wires and the packets, previously, we've through, we are a membership organization, so we have about over 300 members as well engaged with the wider community. We talk to them and they want a wider focus that includes the technology, but also on what people do with it, so the uses of the internet and the impact that the internet has on everybody's life now that it's everywhere. So this can sort of, this shift can be seen by looking at our vision and mission. So our vision was that the internet is open and uncapturable. So it was a focus on the internet and the sort of the characteristics of it, that it's open, uncapturable, you know, how the technology works. Whereas our new vision is more about the impact, so a better world through a better internet. So shifting that focus towards what does the internet do, what does it affect, i.e. the world. And similarly with our mission, it used to be to protect and promote the internet for New Zealand. And again, this was about the protecting and promoting was the internet, the sort of technical network of networks for New Zealand, whereas we felt that, you know, through that consultation, shifting the focus again to the people, so promoting the internet's benefits and uses and protecting its potential. So more about what it does than about protecting it itself, more about people. So what that means day to day for us is we work in a number of ways. Now, importantly, our areas of work, and I'll start with the one at the bottom, which is the fact that we are the .nz CCTLD. Internet New Zealand is the sort of parent company. And we have two subsidiary companies, the Domain Name Commission and New Zealand Registry Services, so DNC and NZ, who run the .nz function. And so as subsidiary companies, that sort of creates that separation so that Internet NZ as a whole is committed to our vision and mission, and the revenue of .nz that comes through those two subsidiary companies is then put into our areas of work to achieve that vision and mission for people in New Zealand. So those areas of work that we use are through internet issues and policy work, through community funding, and through platforms and events to try to achieve that mission and vision. And I'll just break down quickly within those. You can see we have five broad areas of internet issues and policy, and those include internet governance, internet connectivity, internet use and users, internet technology, and internet rights and laws. And so the work we do on those issues varies. We're involved in a lot of, you know, submissions to government here, to engaging in broader internet governance processes, things like the IGF and through ICANN, through at large. And so doing a range of both proactive and reactive work to ensure that, you know, the best policies are being sort of promoted to get those benefits out of the internet, and that we understand and help promote the understanding of the issues that are happening to help sort of that when you have good research and a good understanding of issues, you get the best internet you can get. So that's the work that we do across issues and policy. But a lot of what we do isn't just what we do as Internet NZ. It's actually working sort of in partnership with other people to do things, and then also to help other people to do things. So one way we do that is through community funding. We have two primary community funding modes, one which is a strategic partnership, which is sort of our big funding amount, where we work, really we find organizations that have sort of similar things that they want to achieve, ways that we overlap, and we have partnerships with them that are about achieving some specific areas of focus, doing some work together that achieve our objects, and also just supporting that broader sort of ecosystem. So those are NetSafe at the moment, which is a net safety organization. Internet safety works a lot with education and the government and children and families about how to be safe using the internet. We work with a trust who do a project called Computers and Homes, that's about access. We work with another partner is Creative Commons, Aotearoa, and many of you will be familiar with Creative Commons. So they work in the area of open access and open education using the internet. And, oh, sorry, Sirnush, yeah, I've got, and then, so we have, I have one more minute, I'll speed through these, community grants. So that's more smaller amounts of money that we give out regularly in an area, so community projects, research, conference attendance. And lastly, we have platforms and events. Some of you might have heard of NetHui, so that's one of our really big platforms where we bring together as our internet governance event. But we do a bunch of other side events and sponsorships and support others to do things. So in essence, looking at the last slide, sort of scanning through here, you know, we've come to a place where for internet and Zed, the internet is everywhere. So we have to be everywhere, too, working with people who are, you know, impacted by the internet, because it's about people and technology. So our work has become broader, but we think it matters more. And, yeah, so thank you. So you can see our website, our Twitter account, our Facebook, and any questions, email me.
Thank you, Ellen. This is Sirnush. Thank you very much for this lovely presentation. Just for everyone to know that this presentation will be posted also in Aotearoa Wiki LS Spotlight space, so you can later go back and see the PowerPoint presentation and the information posted there. One more time, thank you, Ellen. And if there is any volunteer who would like to be a Spotlight leader for the next one, please raise your hand or tell us about that. And now this is the very important time for briefing on current ALEC consultations and initiatives. And Olivier, you are here, I think. The floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Sirnush. Yes, indeed, I am here somehow. We have quite
thank
a
you
few
for
policy. We have quite a few things which are currently going on. I invite you all to have a look at the policy development page, the at-large policy development page, which has a very long list of open statements at the moment. Some of which are going to be discussed and voted on, hopefully, after the discussion we have on the ALAC call later on. For some of you it's tomorrow, for some of you it's later on today. So with regards to the different statements, the ones, if I just look at the list, the ones which are going to be dealt with today, one is the policy advisory boards for GTLD's proposal. This is a proposal to open a public comment period that would be discussing or bringing in community input regarding a proposal for policy advisory boards for GTLDs that are dealing with sensitive strings. In effect, it's the mandatory, the proposal of the mandatory need for a special board to be able to legislate and provide input, if you want, for choices of, extensions which are regulated in some countries, like, for example, dot medicine or dot bank, etc. The next one is the ICANN board resolution from its meeting on the 7th of February in Los Angeles. There is a special resolution which has been passed. This is one of the big stories out there. This one, actually, sorry, there's quite a few of them. This one, indeed, is to do with the proposal of the removal of the board technical liaison group. Effectively, there used to be someone selected on the board that was a technical liaison that rotated between the ITU, the IETF, and the World Wide Web Consortium, the W3C. The ALAC advised against the removal of such liaison when it came down to the NOMCOM, since this person is also appointed to the nominating committee, the ICANN nominating committee. Anyway, to cut a long story short, the proposal which was made to remove that liaison mentioned specifically that this had nothing to do with economics and with cost savings. And then the rationale that was given for removing the liaison afterwards was given as being fully pushed by the economics of it and great as a cost saving. So obviously there was a discrepancy between the explanation as to why it had to be that liaison had to be taken out of the board and why it was done at the end. David Antelixing is going to draft a statement. We're not going to vote on it today because, as you will notice, the statement is not up there yet. But I invite you all, once that statement is up, that first draft is up, to comment on it. And the next one is the related issue of the compliance submission process that was drafted by Alan Greenberg. In essence, what this submission says is when there are cases of of maybe several hundreds or several thousands sometimes of the same type of breach that takes place, then the compliance department could batch things together rather than having to look at each one of the issues in turn, one after the other. Because at the moment, even the bulk submission process allows a bulk submission of complaints up to 100 at a time, but each one of those complaints are then taken up individually by the ICANN compliance department. So this one is one that is likely to be voted on, I believe, during the ALAC call. The next one is the proposed review mechanism to address perceived inconsistent expert determinations on string confusion objections. The ALAC had drafted a statement about this in the past that effectively pointed out that in some of the string confusion expert determinations which were made, in some cases, that was chosen by the International Chamber of Commerce, said that the strings were similarly confusing, and in some other cases, the same two words were not similarly confusing according to another adjudicator. I think there was a case of .com and .cam, so .com and .cam in a couple of occasions that were deemed to be confusing, and in other cases to be not confusing. Anyway, the board has made some review mechanisms available now, and as you'll notice, the first draft is extremely short, and it basically says that we are actually fine with the solution that was brought forward. We're happy about this. However, we really do regret that it's taken ICANN this embarrassing thing to react to the overall situation. So then the next one is the Translation and Transliteration of Contact Information Working Group, SOAC Input Requests. This is related primarily to internationalized domain names, IDNs. The first draft is not up on the wiki yet. The process currently is, I think that the IDN working group is drafting a draft on this. Effectively, when you've got an IDN, so an internationalized domain name, let's say in Chinese script, then when you do a who is request on that Chinese script, in what information, first question I guess is, in what information should the who is answer be in? Should it be in Chinese? And then, of course, if it's in Chinese, then it's absolutely useless for people that are only able to read Latin character sets on their computer or indeed able to read Latin. And so how is the translation and the transliteration of that contact information handled by the WHOIS system? And then the whole, well, the whole process by which this happens is actually provided by this working group that is currently working on it. And then finally, the second accountability and transparency review team final report and recommendations. As you know, the ATRT2 has submitted its report, its final report, and the ALAC is commenting on it. There is a first draft that is on the wiki at the moment, and it basically points the board to place equal emphasis on recommendations and observations, because in these days there are quite a number of recommendations. The ATRT1 recommendations have not been fully implemented yet. And so there, with all of the amount of work that is out there and the number of things that are going on at the moment, it might be quite likely that only the recommendations would be taken into account by the board, and the observation might be looked over. This is just to remind the board that everything from A to Z in that report is highly important and needs to be really pushed at all levels. And that's all for the policy development. Of course, I always invite you that you don't need to wait for the monthly call to have a look at that policy development page. This is a page that changes on a daily basis. And you'll note that there are several statements that were drafted since the last call, the last AP Rallo call. And as you know, because there is a 21-day period, it might well be that some statements opened after the AP Rallo call and then closed. The ILAC made its submission before the next AP Rallo call. So I invite you to have a look at them. And they are all listed there. If you have several years, you can actually go through all of them all the way down to the bottom of the page. That's all for now, and thank you very much. I'm open to any questions if there are any.
This is Siranush. Thank you very much, Olivier, for this thorough explanation and detailed presentation of all current policy statements and endorsements discussed and open public and those which are open for public comment. And for everyone, in our agenda posted in Wiki, we have all links to all specific statements which Olivier touched upon. So if you want to go and have a detailed idea what he was talking about, just go and see the, those links. Thank you very much one more time, Olivier. And I will also come back later for you to on point 5, so don't leave us yet. And in our agenda item 4, we have update from metrics working group. And Maureen, I would like to give the floor to you for this update.
Thank you, Siranush, for this opportunity to bring the work of the ALEX metrics group to this meeting. I think I mentioned last time at our last meeting that the ALEC Metrics group has been tasked with devising some sort of measurement to assess the performance of our ALEC members. I'm not quite sure whether you all know who your ALEC members are on the AP Rallo, but they are myself and Holly Raish, who is on this call at the moment. We do have a third member who... we have been actually elected by the ALS, that's you guys, and we do have a third member who is who has been nominated by the NOMCOM, that's Cheryl's area. But back to the metrics, we've been working on this particular metric situation since before Buenos Aires, so we've been on it for nearly 6 months already, and it's taken us this long to sort of like come up with a model that we want to take to Singapore that to present to the ALAC members in Singapore. It's all based on the fact that ALAC has a rule, a set of rules, a procedure, and in those rules of procedure, it actually states what the expectations are of ALAC members, and it actually asks for metrics to assess the performance of our ALEC members who are essentially volunteers. But unfortunately, it doesn't define what those metrics are, which is why we have our working group. What we've actually sort of like come up with, and which we will take to Singapore as a starter, are two quite simple forms of assessment. One is a numeric measure of attendance of ALEC meetings and working groups, and the other is a report by the ALEC member on their contribution to the work of ALEC within the ICANN system. So what we decided on is that we wanted to put a qualitative and a quantitative sort of like measuring system within and as a trial to see how that pans out. I think that I have to sort of like mention that participation and contribution were two words that were very much discussed during our consultations. But most people were saying that ALEC members should be more accountable for their positions on the ALEC and should be informing their RALOs and other stakeholder groups more about what they're doing. So we just sort of thought that if we can propose these two measures, we'll present them to the ALEC members in Singapore and then we'll see what happens. We sort of like feel that it's a simple measure, and we hope that it's going to be acceptable to them. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Maureen. Thank you very much. This is Siranush. I just would like to add that not only ALEC members should be accountable, but I think that each and every ALS who is becoming a part of any RALO and become a member of this huge community should be somehow accountable. So this metrics working group will serve as an example, not only as an example, but also the stable space for all others to follow. Cheryl, you have the floor. You have your hand raised.
Thank you. I do realise that on later in the agenda, you've got a small moment for the APRALO rules of procedure. Although it does state charter,
yes.
And I thought we were already chartered. So I'm assuming it's an update on our activities. But just as a point relevant to what Maureen's reporting currently is, we are enshrining within the APRALO rules of procedure draft a set of measurables and metrics which echo what is in the ALEC rules of procedure. But we would be assuming that leading by example, our region could indeed show how various forms of reporting and accountability can add value to the volunteer work that we do. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you very much for this addition. And we'll move forward now to agenda item 5. This is fiscal year 15 budget request deadline, which is put as March 4. We have received all RALOs received the information from Olivier that the deadline is set for all RALOs to review any ALS request and to send it to the staff. I would like just to ask some clarification from Olivier for everyone to know what type of projects, special projects should be there, what kind of requests should be submitted from ALSs on behalf of RALO. Olivier, if you can say a couple of words related to that, please.
Thank you very much, Saranosh. It's Olivier Kapanov for the transcript. So the FY15 budget development workspace has been opened up. It's linked from your agenda, and you'll notice that the deadline for filing budget requests is the 4th of March 2014, which is not far away at all. It's a very compressed schedule this year because ICANN is putting together in line all of their computer systems and softwares, which finally bring all of the budgets under one single system. The second thing that they're doing is, rather than last year having more than one round of requests for early requests, which were supposed to happen between June and October, and then any other requests which were supposed to happen or be implemented after October of the fiscal year. reminding you that, sorry, I said June, it's July and October, reminding you a fiscal year starts in July and ends in June. It's a strange thing, but that's the way accountants work. And in effect, because it's all going to be one round, all of the requests have to be filed very early, and a decision will be made on all of the requests for the complete fiscal year in advance of last year's calendar. Effectively, this time around, as I said, 4th of March is the deadline for requests to be sent to the Finance and Budget Subcommittee, and I emphasize this. The request should be sent to the Budget and Finance, so the at-large Finance and Budget Subcommittee, FBSC, effectively email the staff email account, so staff@atlarge.icann.org, and then they will add this request onto the wiki page, which is pointed to by the AP Rallo agenda. If you're proficient in, and as you should be, in editing wiki pages, then you can add your requests immediately under the AP Rallo subheading. And now with regards to the type of requests that could be used, well, pretty much anything, I guess, but anything which does not already get covered in the community regional outreach program system, which is, I understand, a pilot program that is a pilot for fiscal year 14, but we do have to assume that this program is going to be a successful program and is going to continue in the next year, in the next fiscal year. So you will already see that a couple of requests have been filed in there. There's one request from AFRALO for an IGF workshop in Istanbul in early September 2014, and I guess that's an entirely valid type of request. And I know that AP Rallo has been very active in producing workshops for or presenting workshops for the Internet Governance Forum. So that's the sort of thing that AP Rallo could be filing for. You'll notice further down the list an IETF Internet Engineering Task Force meeting in Dallas in 2015. That's the sort of request that might be covered by the CROP program. But the Finance and Budget Subcommittee will have to make decisions on this and perhaps discuss things with ICANN Finance and with the CROP program people in advance to be able to determine whether this is the sort of request that should be sent for the extra budget requests. It's fair to say that because of the CROP, it's less likely that small trips will be accommodated, since those will be pushed to the CROP program. All in all, there are still plenty of other ideas which could be used for production of brochures, production of all sorts of things. If you run out of ideas as to what could be asked for in the past, you will notice at the bottom of that page there is a links to reference material, and you will see the fiscal year 14, 13, and 12 budget development workspaces. So you'll be able to see what AP Rallo has been filing for and other railers have been filing for in prior years. Again, I emphasize the very short turnaround on this. So, may the discussion start, and good luck. And the Finance and Budget Subcommittee will be meeting a day after the 4th of March, and then we'll just be making sure that the requests are all in line and all fit within the categories correctly, are all well drafted, and then ICANN staff, ICANN at large staff, will be filing those with the controller@icann.org address. Please do not file yourself. Do not send the email to controller@icann.org. I know that in some cases there might be some pointers to it. Do not be tempted to send the email there. It's for ICANN staff to send that email to controller@icann.org. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, all of you. Really very helpful. Just for everyone to know that there is a template posted on the space, which Silvia posted the link here. And just to be sure for the process, those ALSs should submit their request to me or directly to the Atlas staff at staff@largeicon.org. Olivier, please. And I mean, the process is ALSs are submitting to me their request, and then as a chair, I am submitting it to Atlas, or they can directly send it to Atlas staff.
Thank you, sir. And Rashid, Olivier speaking. Well, it really is for the RELO leaderships to send the requests to the to staff at atlarge.icann.org. Obviously, there needs to be some vetting from the RELO leadership and some coordination from the RELO leadership. These are RELO requests. They're not ELS requests. Maybe in the future,
okay,
there might be a chance with the number of ALSs, there might be a chance to accommodate ELS requests, but ELSs should really contact their RELO, first RELO leadership, for any suggestions that they have.
Thank you. I just wanted that everyone to know that the procedure is that it's not an solely ALS request. It should be a request from RALO, like a crop project. Cheryl, please.
Thank you, Cheryl, for the record. Just to embellish on that slightly, whilst it could be an ALS activity, if it wasn't sent through to the Budget and Finance Subcommittee via the RALO leadership, and therefore we assume with the opportunity for that the RALO to have commented or annotated or quite clearly endorsed it. I think the Budget and Finance Subcommittee would probably take a slightly lower ranking view on that as a process. So coming up through the RALO, even if it's not a regional wide concept for the expenditure, even if it is just an ALS or even a couple of ALSs who might want to produce something, for example, comes to mind, documentation in a local language. They may wish to have some documentation done in a local language, and that would be a worthy thing for this type of activity. If it didn't come up through the RALO, I'm pretty confident the Budget and Finance Subcommittee would take a fairly dim view of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Olivier, please.
Yes,
yeah. Yes, Olivier, please.
Thank you very much, Sarah and Olivier speaking. I absolutely agreed with what Cheryl has said. In fact, what the Finance and Budget Subcommittee, the At-Large Finance and Budget Subcommittee would do is probably to ask the RALO and ask the RALO leadership and say, well, do you know about that request? And that
okay,
might mean a delay in the processing of the application. So much better for the ALS to send that over to the RALO, and the RALO would be able to push it through. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Cheryl and Olivier, for this explanation. It's very helpful for all of us to understand the process. And moving from that budget request to the crop request, I just would like to give an brief update that I am aware of two requests in the process of preparation coming up. But Cheryl, do you have any other updates besides that?
Thank you, Sarah. No, Cheryl.
I know Satish and Samuel are working on... Yes, please.
Now, please, I would like to know which two you are referring to. So if you could clearly state to me...
Yes, I was talking about Satish and Samuel. Satish Babu and Samuel Martirosyan are preparing the request for HITCOM 2014 in Qatar. So they are planning to send a request related to that. But no other information from... anybody else?
Thank you. Sir Nush, if you'd be so kind as to just send a note to Ali and I regarding that, so we can be prepared to process that as post haste. That would be greatly appreciated. Cheryl, for the record, and I just want to give you a very brief update on the crop thrill pack, an exciting adventure that is crop. We have to, as a region, make sure it is seen as a successful program. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. As a pilot program, it is to benefit of all of our regions in the future for this style of funding to exist. So, to that end, we are struggling, as you can tell from the tone in my voice, to find people coming forward with appropriate funding. We have had some proposals which were inappropriate, in other words, they were for attendance at ICANN meetings, which is specifically outside of a COP project. That part of this is a timing issue. I'm Apricot here today. I've spent about 45 minutes talking with QA and one of his new staff members, Kelvin, who has the job of for the regional vice president of Asia Pacific, looking at outreach and engagement. So he will be working quite closely with us in the future. But I was yet again bemoaning the fact that it's really hard in the timing we had for this pilot to get much that will fit for Asia Pacific. The same could be said with Africa, although I'm delighted to mention to you that we have had now one piece of request come through from AFRALO. That said, and that's why I was keen to find out what possibility you were talking about, Sirinush. I would like to propose, if it's your wish, to have Ali and I do a small conversation with QAC to see whether or not he and his staff are aware of any upcoming opportunities which would clearly fit the criteria, and we'll try and proactively encourage some people to put in funding applications, because for us to not make use of this opportunity, I think, would be a tragedy. So if it's your wish, I would suggest that Ali and I make a time to talk specifically on this and try and get some options sorted out from the Asia Pacific perspective, and then we will go out and more directly solicit for travellers who may be able to attend. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Just for you to know that Sirinush is here, that this KITCOM 2014 was taken from the list which Ali has sent to Apirallo mailing list, and he also is involved in those two guys consulted him what should be specifically pointed out in the application, in the request form, so he gave some suggestions to Satish and Samuel, and they are in the process of finalizing the request. So, but I would like, if there are any... if there are any other suggestions related to any major event in the region where people can apply for, please share with all. Thank you very much, and let's move to agenda item 7. Who was there? I couldn't hear.
Cheryl here again. It's all very good to have lists of opportunities sent. We can't act unless an application is received. So we have to move it from lists being sent to applications received. So that's why I'm suggesting we may need to be proactive.
Agree completely, Sirinush is here. And thank you for these updates. Holly, are you there? Just please give a couple of minutes talking about multi-stakeholder forum, which we are planning to have in Singapore on Monday 24th.
Yeah. Okay. Holy Race for the record. There are actually two events that I've been planning. One is a workshop on what we're calling TOR, which is underwriting, which is the use of domain names that are not part of the ICANN system and why that's become a particular issue with the new GTLDs. We're having that session is immediately before the multi-stakeholder forum. It will be chaired by Evan, but we were very lucky to have the actual chair of the, I think it's Stability and Security, the SSAC, Patrick Falstrom, and Garth Bruin, who is also a real whiz on this subject, he's also a member of ADAC, will be talking. So that's going to be a really interesting session from essentially 3 to 4 in the afternoon. Then from 4 to 6, we're having the multi-stakeholder forum. The first part of that will be about privacy proxy services, and in particular, when the latest amendments to the RAA were passed, part of what was passed was a specification for privacy proxy services. There's a working group to work through what that will mean, and that working group actually will be meeting in my time tomorrow morning. The people in that forum so far, I will chair it, but it will include Michaela Nyland, who's a registrar. It will include James Gladel, who's GoDaddy, Steve Metallic, who's the IP constituency in the GNSO, and Kathy Kleinman, who's also, I think, the NCUC. We're looking for somebody from law enforcement, but not necessarily because we've already got three speakers and that's going to be a lot of a discussion. Followed by that is the discussion on the expert working group, which is really looking at, in the future, is there a better way to manage registration data? Now, that's going to be run by Carlton, and Michaela Nyland is going to be on that. Two others, Stephanie, and I've forgotten her surname, and Fabrizio. That's going to be for an hour as well, but between those two, it's going to be really all about registration data, its availability, its publicity, its lack of publicity, its accuracy, a range of issues that have been sort of bubbling along for just years. And for my money, it's going to be a very interesting 3 hours. So any questions?
Thank you, Holly. Are there any questions? And Sylvia also posted the names of moderators and the roundtable topics to be discussed and speakers in the chat space. Thank you, Sylvia. So no any other questions. Looking forward to these discussions in Singapore. And moving to agenda item 8, update from Apricot 2014. As I understand, there are several people from Apricot now in person in Apricot in Malaysia, and I know that Cheryl was going to have several meetings there and also to present and represent ICANN and APRALO during the meeting with APTLD there. So Cheryl, please, any updates from Apricot?
Thank you, Serena. Cheryl, for the record, very briefly. There's a lot going on. There's been some very interesting sessions, including panels on internet governance that was part of the APTLD meeting, which ran Thursday, Friday and Monday here in Malaysia. And then yesterday evening, which was Monday afternoon, was the opening ceremony, which I noted in the chat. Sirinush, you obviously attended via webcast. It's getting into sessions then later in the afternoon and through today, and of course it's very much network. A number of people who also have relationships with at-large structures, ranging from New Zealand through to, of course, Philippines, Hong Kong, mainland China, and a whole bunch of other places, including locally here in Malaysia, are also here in other capacities. But I thought what might be notable for our group here today is the very successful, and it was a very successful ICANN update session that was conducted by Kioek and his team, but also including staff from ICANN policy department. We had our much loved Mary Wong there, and the new GTLD group that was updating specifically on topics to do with IDN, including universal acceptance, on who is, including matters of the expert working group and their new report, and on various registry and general ICANN issues. It was a well-attended meeting. The room was quite full, but what was exciting is that within the region and running this at this APRICOT meeting, about half the people in the audience were not already engaged directly with ICANN policy and activities, and therefore we can also assume not engaged with us. And I think that means there's an opportunity for us to outreach at these types of events to encourage and engender even more ALSs, or if there are ALSs and they are somewhat dormant in the ICANN world, perhaps encourage a greater participation. Other than that, the rest of the week is yet to come, but I will be attending the APRICOT-based Women in ICT meeting tomorrow evening, and I'm sure next time I'll be able to do a more fulsome report. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff. Sianus is here. I think that this is really a good sign of starting collaboration with APTLD to invite the member of Aturalo to provide updates about the upcoming also process, MOU signing process. And I think that this is really good sign for starting collaboration between APTLD and Aturalo. Thank you very much. And the next action item again is you, Aturalo Rock Charter. Cheryl, please, a quick update on that, please. Sorry.
Thank you, Cheryl, again for the record. And it does need to be a quick update, and it won't take long for the rules of procedure. Your rules of procedure working group, which is chartered, so I think we can probably drop the word charter off this agenda item, thank you, has got its draft document out for its own edit and sanity checking. That is going to be happening till, I think, middle of next week. And then shortly after the middle of next week, once we've made any changes that the work group note in the current draft, we will be passing on to you, Cyrinush, and the rest of your leadership team, and then on to the list a final draft for looking at, talking about on the list and on the actual wiki page that it will be publicised in, and of course what we hope is more final discussion at the Singapore meeting. So we're tracking. It will be in the hands of the region for full deliberation by no later than the 8th or 9th of March. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. And there will be a document posted. We asked also Sylvia in the chat to post the link to that Word document. And March 6th is set as a deadline for any comments for that within the working group. And then it will be shared with others. Some steps will be discussed also during our next monthly call in Singapore. Thank you, Cheryl, very much. And yes, Cheryl, you have your hand.
I apologise, but I'm just panicking a little. The fact that in the chat, Cheryl, for the record, Maureen is asking Sylvia for the link to the Word document. We put it up on a Google Doc, Maureen. If that link wasn't distributed as I got on a plane, then the committee has not had it for enough time. And if that's the case, I would like Sylvia or whoever to rectify it post-haste. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. The link is posted.
Yes, this is Sylvia for the record, yesterday the document was posted and was sent out.
So no problem.
Hello?
Hello?
Sorry, Nush said in the chat that she was dropped.
Dropped. Okay.
Holly, do you want to keep it going until she gets back?
Oh, okay, right. The Singapore showcase. Now, it's Sirenush, but Sylvia, do you want to talk about the Singapore showcase until Sirenush is back?
Yes, sure. Okay, so basically we have at this point organized almost all of them, all of the items. The invitations were sent by Sirenush to the VIPs that we have present in the showcase. We are awaiting responses, but staff is aware and they are coordinating the agendas of Fadi and Steve Crocker. So the agenda is done. In terms of logistics, we have the drinks, the catering, and the folkloric performances already arranged. And thanks to the contributions of APNIC and .Asia, we had a surplus of about $1,000. With that extra money, we were able to, through the Singapore office, to find a second dancing performance that is going to take place at the end of the showcase, and to have some extra drinks to be served during the cocktail time. So at this point, we are just finalizing the details with meeting staff to have the appropriate screens and the changing rooms and just minor details with meeting staff. So at this point, we are on track, and I really want to thank everyone, the organizing committee, for your hard work and your organization. Really, it's spectacular, fantastic, and we are looking forward to having a great time in Singapore. Thank you, and bravo. Excellent IP rally. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sylvia. Okay. Thank you very much. This is Cyrano Schoenbeck. Thank you for this update. So thank you for this excellent support also. And yes, I also would like to say thank you, APRALO Organizing Committee, Singapore Showcase Organizing Committee members all, because they put a lot of effort in fundraising, and we really are very happy to have about $6,000 fundraised for this showcase, and I hope that everyone will enjoy a lot of fun and a lot of shows during this showcase in Singapore. Gunella, yeah, you have your hand, please.
Yes, hi, thank you. This might not totally fit into the Singapore showcase, but I just wanted to mention that with the at-large accessibility working group that is brand new, we were talking about having a guest speaker from a disability organization in Singapore. And I'm just wondering if there has been any liaison done between that group and APRALO in regard to the organising. So it's just a general question. It might be too late now, but if there is any information, that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Gunella. Cheryl, you have your hand.
Thank you very much, Cheryl, for the record. I thought I'd respond to that, although, Sirenush, I'm sure you'd be responding in an identical way. Just to let you know, Gunella, that in fact, the Regional Vice President did write to Sirenush and myself and ask whether or not, and some others, whether or not it would be appropriate to have the local local disability group representatives come to our accessibility meeting, and we said Most definitely, yes, that would be extremely useful, as we would be able to, for a public meeting, that, which that is, benefit by their particular input while we're meeting in Singapore. But I don't believe there was time being allocated on the showcase schedule now for a speaker from the sector. Serenush, I think I've got that right, but you might want to just double-check on me there.
Yes, thank you, Cheryl. Just another, I just received and I saw it in my mailbox that I have an email from Kelvin Wang, the person who is in who is dealing with this disability issues from Singapore office, and he sent update that he contacted Tan Tin Wee, the person whose name was given by Ganella, to him, and he also invited him for the showcase and for the Monday task force meeting. Actually, he is not. It's not appropriate to invite him as to newcomers or to fellowship meetings where we intend to invite those. But other than that, I don't have any updates. Whom else they contacted, Singapore staff, as they are not present today also during the during this meeting. But I think they are in the process of finalizing who will be able to come. Well, because there were several suggestions given to them. Yes, they, there will be no speakers at showcase, as it's also time issue and also the challenge to find the appropriate person to do that. So, but Quick and his staff still are working on finding appropriate group to come for Singapore meeting to see if that will be possible. Daniela, if that's all I know for till now. Any other questions to that? Yes, Ganella?
Yes. Look, thank you very much, Serenush and Cheryl, for that update. I understand the situation, and hopefully there will be some other people attending that particular working group meeting on accessibility, and I look forward to working with a particular people to hopefully make that happen. Thanks.
Daniela, this is Serenush. If I can suggest you to send an email to those people whom you know directly and ask them and invite them on behalf of Aperalo to this task force meeting, that would be great. And if you can CC this to me and Cheryl, just to be aware who is planning to come to that meeting. They are more than welcome to come. I think Singapore staff is really busy with all other things around, but if you can help us, and yes, also copy staff, that will be real help, Ganella. Would really appreciate. Thank you very much. Yes, and I just apologize for having 5 more minutes of your attention here. There is an action item, agenda item 11, Atlas 2 in London, and I would like to touch upon on that a little bit. I have sent a request to Aperalo list and asked them to participate in Atlas 2 working group, and I'm really very happy to receive a very quick response to more than 10 people who volunteered for different groups, working groups in Atlas 2. So thank you all for your participation. Thank you. I would like to thank all those who already volunteered and put their names forward, and would like to that all those who are not involved put their names forward, and we need all your support there in those working groups. And I also would like to thank staff who is quickly sending appropriate follow-up for the request to be included in any working group mailing list and that type of thing. Yes, we will keep more volunteers coming, because we also invited Eduardo Diaz and Carlos, from Communication Working Group co-chair to our Singapore monthly call, and they graciously agreed to come there, and we will have more information provided to APRALO team, and also we would like to invite Olivier to be on our Singapore monthly meeting to because after Singapore, we all our efforts should be put to London. There we'll have not only a summit, but we also will have APRALO General Assembly there, so a lot of stuff coming up and a lot of discussions will take place. So your participation is very, very important for all of us. Any additions to that, Olivier, Cheryl, Holly, Maureen? If no, then just move forward. Yes, Maureen, please.
No, I said there was nothing from me. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, and just agenda item 12 is next monthly call. It will be in Singapore. It will be on March 26th. From 8 to 9 local time. So those who will be in person in Singapore are more than welcome to come there. This is some kind of mandatory for them to come. But all others who will be not in Singapore, they are more than welcome to join to that through Adobe Space and through remote dialogues. I think that will be also the date for us for the Singapore showcase. That evening on March 26th we'll have our showcase, so that monthly meeting will be very important for all of us. Yes, thanks for posting Wednesday 26th agenda in the space, Sylvia. Any other business? No, if no, then I just want to thank everyone for your participation, and we'll provide some updates through our mailing list for all other APRALO members who were not able to join the call, and we'll post also our monthly report in the space for our upcoming ALAC meeting. Good night, and thank you very much for your participation, and enjoy Apricot.
Thank you,
everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.